Or as we occasionally like to say,
the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions with Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Siren 107.3 FM. A 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
Congratulations, Gemma, and you are now officially a Midweek Drivette. No, it's very exciting.
I am very excited.
When Camo got the news he was a Midweek Drivette, it was almost more exciting than becoming an American citizen, I believe. You know, the joys were out there. It's fantastic, but there we are. Happy days. Never mind, you're not the devil. That's an interesting cue. Could it be a beardy man called Cody Jinx that we're about to actually have a listen to? I don't know, Camo. It's your Nashville selection. Share with us what's going to launch the show today.
Yeah, I kind of discovered Cody Jinx maybe about a year ago, kind of by accident, you know, and you go on iTunes and they make suggestions about things. And he really blew me away because he's got that kind of 70s outlaw sound to him, kind of Waylon Jennings kind of feel to his music. And there's a few guys that have come out lately that I like, that Whitey Morgan in the 78s and people like that. But I really like Cody Jinx. He's from Texas. He used to be in a thrash metal band. And he always says he went from thrash to cash. And he's doing traditional country now, and I really like his stuff. Our buddy Ward Davis, who we've featured here before, he co-wrote this song, and it was really neat because he got the chance to go to Texas and open for Cody. And they hit it off and wrote this song. And I'm surprised that they haven't written a song about beards, because between the two of those guys, I think you could fill a room with their facial hair. But this is Cody Jinx. This is brand new for him, and I am calling this a career-defining record. I think this is the one that's going to break it all open for him. This is the title track. It's called I'm Not the Devil on Siren FM.
The devil you think that I am. It ain't no excuse, but I'm just a man. I slipped and I fell and got out of hand. But I'm not the devil you think that I am. Wasn't no gun held in my head. I got caught up believing in lies that were said. And in a moment of weakness, I stumbled and I made my bed. And I'll spend forever do all that I can to prove I'm not the devil you think that I am. I'm not the devil.
So, Camo, I duly went to the Cody Jinx website and pulled up the YouTube video, and we just get the same image consistently, which is a wonderful kind of old Texas kind of ranch scenario with the bearded one himself, Cody Jinx, with I'm Not the Devil. Neither, I believe, is indeed Ron or indeed the amazing Frankie that have actually just arrived in the studio, part of the mouth. Unless we'll check, but then, as I said to Gemma, if they were the devil, would they admit it? Mm. Frankie, would you admit to being the devil?
Yes.
Ron?
Devil in disguise.
Devil in disguise.
I could get a kick out of it, to be honest.
In fact, I have to say, the amazing Frankie could possibly be going for the Cody Jinx beard in about 5.5 months' time, possibly. That's Cody Jinx's beard there. Significant beard, but, you know, he's just gone for the George Michael kind of, you know, the stubble sort of routine on that basis.
Way in white stubble.
But I know Camo is keen to actually find out, you know, what we made of that. Aren't you, Camo?
Yes.
There we are. Precisely. So, Gemma, what did you make of Cody Jinx?
I thought that was really calming, very relaxing. It's just what I needed after the power walk here. So thank you for that.
Nice. And Ron?
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a cool chill-out sound, especially after rushing here and leaping up and jumping over walls.
Now, Ron, let's just take this quite seriously, because I know the Olympics get people very excited, and there is that sort of notion that you see it on TV and you think, that Mo Farah, I could do that, you know, that sort of hurdling, that steeplechasing, you know, that no problem whatsoever, you know, Usain Bolt, I'm there. What was it that led you to jump over a wall?
Well, I came to the university car park,
yes,
and it said there was parking for the public from 4:30 onwards, and pay at the machine, but there was no machine.
No.
So I had to go and use another car park.
Please, you're a midweek driver. You could have actually worked through that whole process. You know, so let us know in the future. How high was the wall, by the way?
It was about 4 foot.
About 4 foot. Which actually you don't have to translate to American, because actually I think they understand what feet and inches actually are in the States. It's amazing, really. Unless they've got kilometres.
We trademarked that. and Fahrenheit.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Fahrenheit. We have Fahrenheit as well.
Do you have miles or kilometres?
Miles.
Miles.
Okay. Miles, come on.
Exactly. Yeah. Come on. Come on, Ron. Get with the program.
Not part of the globalist world order. We're America.
There we are, you see. And that translated as, we're America, you know, which is great. It's just almost like a Donald Trump address, really. Sorry. Heavy political points there, and we don't want to go down that line. But, Ron, did you, Frankie, did you have any particular thoughts on what you might have just heard there in the 20 or 30 seconds you will have got of the tune?
I thought I need to sit down.
He needs to sit down, which could actually sort of be used as part of the Nashville Access All Area scenario there. He needs to sit down, that basis. It makes you almost want to set up a Sound and Country Vision monthly show so you can actually get into serious country music, Camo. Oh, hang on, we've got one. Anyway, there we are. Fantastic stuff. We've got some Tessa Snart within that. And do you want to actually give a little sneak preview to one of the artists who might well be featuring in Volume 2 of Sound and Country Vision? I was talking to you. Me? In the classic line there. Yes.
There you go. You talking to me?
Mm.
We featured on Nashville Access. We featured this artist as a Nashville Access super pick. And when we do our super picks, of course, we try to keep to American artists. However, when there are international artists that are recording or active here in Nashville, we're trying to make a run at the U.S. charts, and we tend to feature them, too. We featured a couple of Canadian acts, and this act, that she's going to be on the show, and she's going to be an interview on the show with us, so that's going to be really cool.
And her first name is Jess. We say no more. That's always her name. It's just wonderful.
Her first name is Jess, and she's surrounded by bandits.
And that always happens. Jessica Ward, our midweek driver, Jess, will be joining us from the Isle of Man later, as indeed will Buck, now is back in Hawaii. Buck in Hawaii sounds so right. William Coles is joining us, Professor David Crystal as well, talking about the English language and indeed voice identification. And Ilana Raylan returns, as indeed does Phil Dearness. Gemma. Silly question, really, but can you remember the last two questions that we need to put to our telephonic interviewees at this stage?
No.
Exactly. Have they had a reasonably interesting telephonic link, and will they return? I know you get used to be inspired and coming to a different show. Sort our way through that. But would you like to just bowl those two questions to Camo, please?
Have you had a reasonably good telephonic link, and what was the next one?
Is he likely to return? You can take it one at a time.
Are you likely to return?
Yeah, you can take it one at a time if you want.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Nice. Excellent.
They were the right answers.
See, we got there in the end. I always say the rehearsal works wonders, really. Just allow for it.
Yes.
And it works well.
You're listening to The Midweek Drive on Siren FM, guaranteed to keep you safe from giant lizards.
What? So, National Portrait Gallery, Self-Portraits Exhibition, Facing the World, National Gallery Exhibition, the Daubigny Exhibition, shows, the Glass Menagerie. Very good, apparently, according to Richard Fitzwilliams. Angel Travesty, Korean Magicians in Snap, Incredible, an a cappella group, Cole Porter, all such colourful fun. Sadly, according to Richard Fitzwilliams, William didn't get in touch, but maybe next year. There you are, you see, William Coles. I'd set up an ideal dream team there of top correspondents, former editor of International Who's Who, Richard Fitzwilliams, and ace author William Coles. And you didn't get in touch for the 4 days you was in Edinburgh.
I was under the cosh, dear. Yes, I've got my entire family of in-laws here. That's three sisters-in-law, sundry nephews and nieces, a brother-in-law and a mother-in-law.
Well, I can tell you what you need at this particular moment in time, William, for great family harmony. You to have the Lincoln Mouthpiece Poets all set and ready. And just as happenstance would sort of develop for us and the good fortune and providence, we have got three of the Mouthpiece Poets, including the team captain, extraordinaire Gemma Baker, in the studio, just ready to engage in witty banter about how Edinburgh is almost Mediterranean in its kind of output, in a whole heap of other areas. Not only do we have Gemma, we have Ron. Do we have a surname, Ron? I know we've had sort of lines before, but...
Yeah, I've got a surname, but most people nowadays call me Rocket Ron.
Rocket Ron, nice. Mm. I'll say what, Rocket Ron, who leaps over 4 feet walls in car parking spaces, because that's what he does. I think it's a bit like a midlife crisis, but no, it's all right, don't worry. And because it's in his contract, he always has to have the Christian, the amazing Frankie is with us as well. So
the amazing Frankie.
The amazing Frankie. It's almost like stepping into these streets of Edinburgh, I feel, you know, just except we're in Lincoln and only a matter of 220-odd miles away from the joys of where William Coles is actually currently based. Anyway, William, whom would you like to speak to from the Mouthpiece Poets team?
I'd like to speak to Gemma, please.
Good choice.
Very good.
Off you go then, William. We'll leave you to it and have a coffee or something. So we're going
to have a great time. You don't worry about me at all.
Okay, maybe, not that I want to lead William because he doesn't need to be led, maybe he wants to find out a bit more about Mouthpiece Poets and how crowdfunding can support you and how it's becoming Lincoln's best kept secret no longer because it's emerging as a wonderful thing.
Right. Yeah. Crowdfunding. I think that crowdfunding is over the hill. Everyone's at it these days, and I reckon you've got a problem with crowdfunding unless you happen to be incredibly beautiful or have cute kids or cute dogs. Everyone's trying to do it, and I've noticed amongst my friends, they've had a surfeit of it being tapped up. It's rather like being asked to donate to charities because your buddy is going up Kilimanjaro. You just think, oh, God, another one trying to sting me for money. So, yes, crowdfunding, is it over the hill? I reckon it is.
Well, I'd have to disagree with you, obviously, there.
But you're going to tell me that it's still on the way up. Everyone's
I just
gagging.
Like, no, yeah, it is. Well, to be honest, it was from our audience members that come to word of mouth the evening we put on at Lincoln Drill Hall who asked for it, and they have been really generous in supporting us. And we've had donations coming in from lots of audience members and poets and... yeah, just random people that think that it's a good thing to have in Lincoln and to keep supporting it. So it's going pretty well. So, yeah, I'd have to disagree with you, William.
Did you have the requisite number of beautiful people then and the viral video?
Oh, yeah, so all of Mouthpiece definitely are beautiful people.
I'm gorgeous.
We're all beautiful.
So what did you promise the people who gave money? What was the payment in kind that we're going to receive?
Well, there's varying degrees depending on your pledges, but you can get the fantastic Mouthpiece Poets anthology if you donate, I think it's £20. You can have all sorts of things. I can't remember any of them now. But it's looking for sponsorship as well, basically, from the bigger companies, bigger organisations. We really need somebody to get behind us to keep the event going. And, yeah, that's about it, really.
Okay, but have you got the viral video too?
We have a video on the crowdfunding page of our June word of mouth night, and if you go on YouTube and look at Mouthpiece Poets, we have lots of videos on there of our performances.
Okay. But that's not the same as a viral video.
No, the closest we've got to a viral video is our member Sam Harrison has a fantastically catchy song about Jeremy Corbyn, and that's on about 12,000 views now. So I think that could be viral, but it's got nothing to do with the night. But we'll jump on the bandwagon anyway.
That's what it's all about, bandwagons. So are you going to give me your best... do you do Clara Hughes at all? Have you done a Clara Hughes on Mr. Luchuk?
Nice question, actually. Mm. I think that you need to explain what a Clara Hughes happens to be before they can actually give you a full answer to that. So take it away, please.
It is two couplets, and it's about a person. It's normally pithily sums up what they're about. And there was a guy called Lord Curzon, who was the foreign secretary, who about 100 years ago he hoped to be prime minister but didn't quite make it. And he said the reason he didn't make it because when he'd been at Oxford, some of the undergrads had written a Clara Hughes about him, and he said that dogged him for the rest of his days. And the Clara Hughes went, "My name is George Nathaniel Curzon. I am a most superior person. My cheek is pink, my hair is sleek. I dine at Blenheim once a week." And it was that Clara Hughes that stopped him from becoming Prime Minister. So there you go. A Clara Hughes on Alex Luchuk.
Well, yeah, we shall certainly work on that. And the member I was just mentioning has miraculously appeared
in the studio.
Sam Harrison is with us, so maybe you can...
Sam Harrison hears his name through the medium of radio, and whoosh,
he hears his name, and it just gravitates.
It's quite astounding.
But yeah, we'll work on that.
The Clara Hughes are normally not very complimentary.
Oh, well, I don't know if we can do that then.
We can try. Give it a Lincoln Fizz. That's important. A Lincoln Fizz on that.
We'll work on it through this team.
Sam was unable to join us this afternoon, so he's here for the Midweek Drive, the other sort of aspect of Inspired On Air, of course. But it looks as though he's got a script with him, so that's very exciting. You know? So maybe if we'd actually move the microphone towards him from that perspective. I know that William is keen to actually say, well, this is all well and good, and I've listened to Gemma sing the praises of Mouthpiece Poets, and the fact that there's an acoustic music act required for the evening of October the 19th, and it's a 30-minute set. My word, it's even a paid gig as well.
It is a paid gig.
Lord above, it's just amazing from that point of view. And indeed, the classic line, if you check out Gemma on Facebook, a word, you know you've hit the big time when you're besties with the legend that is the Siren FM Badger.
Absolutely. And Badger is a genius.
Who is the Siren FM Badger? Are you the Badger?
Don't get me started on badgers or ferrets. I've always seen myself more as a kind of hedgehog. But anyway, enough of such stuff. Sam, have you got a piece of poetry ready to actually go?
I have indeed. Oh, I have good. Indeed.
Is it broadcastable?
Yes, is it radio?
It is broadcastable. It is radio friendly.
Are you ready for this, William, to actually catch the joys of Sam from Mouthpiece Poets? A rating
yes, my
for
ears are pinned back.
Pleasure and delight. Take it away, Sam.
I'm going to have to edit as I go, I think. I want to change the world. I want to change the way people think. I want to do what's never been done before. I want to wage a war with ink. Can you change the world with art? You bet your asso. I'll paint a freaky picture in your mind like a Picasso. I'm going to polish up this rigmarole like my rhymes are made of brasso. And woe betide the mofo that interrupts my flow. I'm going to break down walls and smash boundaries. And I don't need bandwidth to get my message out, you see. I got up in your face and weird you all out and be the one who gets you thinking till you break free. We work in algorithms. We move in ugly patterns. It's the life we're living. Ground down, reaching for the pound for generations. See my frustration, we're not a happy nation. I don't have all the answers, but I have questions. We're sad and fat and sucking on the cultural word I can't say on radio. I have a bunch of heavy-handed branded corporations. For us, wealth is survival. For the rich, we're entertainment. We have to reclaim the spaces we were born in. They're watching on the web, so get outside and scream the warning. It's coming. Another age of exploitation. We need art and health and heart and wealth and love and education. It's your last chance, so get out and cling to your community. They play divide and conquer games, don't give the opportunity. You don't need a credit card to lead a happy life. Keep your kith and kin around, and they'll lead you through the strife. Get outside in the green blue skies, shoes dirty from the tide. You're not living till you're burning up the night, flying like a kite. We don't need pills and bifters to keep us burning bright. Poisoning our guts with wine to have a good time, there's a fine line between hedonism and living in a chemical prison. We only have one life, so keep it going. The river's deep and old, we have to keep it flowing. And when we're naked in the waves, then we are truly brave. If there's a God, he's in the ripples without his knowing. If you spend your life working 9 to 5, you've wasted the gift you're given. We weren't designed for Microsoft Excel. You know as well as I, we weren't born to die in life, we're here for living. Crack on, because blink and we will miss you. Open up your heart and let my lyrics kiss you. Feel the world of bliss at your fingertips. We have the greatest gift, but we've forgotten how to use it. Throw away your TV and love each other like the wild animals on the Serengeti. Relax in the breeze. Throw away your cancerous processed meats. Suck up the fruits of life. Sleep outside under the summer skies. Let the first glint of sunlight heal your eyes. This is my battle cry. Make sure to do some living before you die.
Round of applause. Yay! Yay!
I like the way you edited that.
Some on-the-fly editing, definitely.
TV and Serengeti. Genius.
Yes.
I mean, you know, there are sub-editors for tabloid newspapers who would have killed for that line, TV and Serengeti.
What about Afro and Picasso?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you would have gone for that one, Will. It's spot on. So what did you make of it, then?
I thought it was fantastic. To me, it sounded like a poet for seduction. You know, there you are trying to hit on somebody, but they're proving a tough nut to crack. And so you crank that one out, which I might claim for my own, actually, when my wife is not feeling terribly happy. Crank that one out, say, yes, darling, I wrote it for you. And then, yes, I think she would start purring. Is that right? Is it a poem for seduction?
Sam, is it a poem for seduction?
It's not intended to be, really. It was just kind of like a bit of a stream of consciousness. I kind of think that we live in a life that's very sort of numb and very sort of...
Comfortably so, as Pink Floyd.
Yeah, comfortably numb, essentially. But I'm not a fan of the numb. I'd rather be alive and living in a state of semi-danger than to be dead and living in a concrete office block.
That's why he's on the show. Exactly, alive. It makes you sort of live in a sense of danger. Extraordinary from that point of view. I know you're mostly a prose writer, William, and inevitably Katie Dawes sends her fond best wishes to your good self, but she's psyching herself up for clearing duties tomorrow, so I'm sure, you know, that'll be a time where she'll easily be able to read both your books. Sorry, Katie. It'll happen. I know it will. You know, one day, I've read William's books, and they're fantastic. You know, Emma Tinson once read one of them as well, so it's great stuff. So people do actually read William Cole's book. They don't just take the book and say, yeah, I'll read that, and then we never hear from it again.
Yeah, very useful for propping up coffee tables as well.
Yeah, but not the sort of overall line from that perspective. However, where was this line actually taking us? Yes, normally a prose writer. Have you considered writing poetry at times, William?
Poetry is a very tough one. You've got to put in, I've had a dabbled with it, and I've realized pretty quickly that you have to put in a lot of hours. As many hours as you'd have to put into to learn to be a journalist or write prose. And I'm no bloody good at it. That's another problem. So I haven't put in the hours, but yeah, it's a real craft, and I have not got that skill.
Refreshing.
Nor have I put in the hours.
Yeah, a refreshing sort of line from that point of view. But what, William, is this that I actually see about you videoing yourself doing 22 push-ups? So is that not that, Stephen? Is that something completely different? What are you getting into? Is this the Olympic strategy once again, William? Sort of getting to this whole notion.
No, I hate those ones. This is a challenge. It's nice that you always trawl through. Stalker-like through my Facebook
Well,
our little chat, just so that you're fully up to speed. This is various friends challenge you to do things on Facebook, and say your top 20 songs and this sort of stuff. And this is a challenge that's been going around for a few months now. It's the
laptops a day for 22 days for, I think, Help the Heroes, or one of those one of those sort of charities. And although it's very laudable, that charity, I hate being nominated for it and, you know, feeling sort of obliged to
it's
do
it. It's like crowdfunding. It's like chugging.
I do not do these things as a matter of principle. Sorry. Crowdfunding, on the other hand, I'd love to hand over my £2. Is that right?
Oh, did you? Amazing. You
know, what's the minimum payment?
£5.
Yeah, he's living in Scotland, you know. Two English pounds equivalent to £5 Scottish, I'm sure. Sorry, Nicola Sturgeon. Never mind. There's a whole system from that perspective. Ron, any questions you want to put to William Coles, please?
What particular subjects do you like to write on?
Well, love stories at the moment, and I do sometimes satires if somebody annoys me enough. Then, like Simon Cowell or David Cameron, occasionally have a pop at writing about them. But love stories, and occasionally I have been having had a few stabs at historical fiction, including one about one of the few people to have survived both atomic bombs in Japan. And this is a story that I think the only book in history that has moved Alex to tears.
Not the only book, but I have to say it's one of the best books of the 21st century so far, Bill. You can use that as a quote if you wish. If legend books and publications are so desperate they need to actually use that, then you can the best book of the 21st century so far, which of course leads on to your next book. You see what we did there?
Well, I think we'll just leave out the so far, if that's all right by you, when we slap the quote on the cover.
That very nice.
There's no need to qualify it at all.
Yeah, precisely. You see, and that's why he worked so well reporting the Monica Lewinsky situation. Sensitivity, delicacy, you know, and the right thing to do with cigars. Anyway, moving on. It's 5:30. I know. You see, you get the mouthpiece poets in, you don't, you go crazy with the sorority. It's coming around to 26 minutes to 6 o'clock, maybe 25 to 6 o'clock in UK time. Professor David Crystal, OBE, is joining us in a few moments to talk about the way that language changes voice print identification and so on. But Gemma, who had a brave effort at launching into the last two questions earlier with Camo from Nashville, is going to actually redeem herself now.
What went wrong with Camo from Nashville?
She thought she was on a different show. She thought it was Inspired on Air and asked them both simultaneously, which obviously confused Camo. So he could just say yes and yes. But, you know, it happens. Gemma.
Okay. I'm ready. Brace for it. What are you going to
ask?
You
ready,
me?
William? Are you ready for
anything
this?
At all?
Have you had a good telephonic link with us today, and will you return?
I have had a most excellent telephonic link. It's always terrific. I look forward to returning next time and to hearing Miss Clerahue about Mr. Luchuk.
Absolutely. We need to get on that. Brilliant.
Normally, for reasons of timing, the essence of comedy, we leave a gap by which they can say, because obviously if the first answer is no, then you've got to sort of rephrase the second question.
No, but if you put them together, then they can't say no to the first one. They have to say yes.
Yes, I've had a good time, and no, I don't want to come back.
It could be the pinnacle of life. William, as ever, we salute you. Take care, and keep Edinburgh friendly.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you are a shining light. You lit a torch in the empty night. Yeah, you are a shining light. Yeah, you light up my life. You've always been a thorn in the side, but to me you're a shining light. You arrive and the night is the light. Shine like my divine intervention. Shining light, a constellation, don't see.
Now, when you've actually got books on English phonetics and phonology, including prosodic systems and intonation in English and the English tone of voice to your credit, and you've also been the founder editor of the Journal of Child Language Teaching and Therapy and Linguistics Abstracts, clearly you are the go-to person to comment on recent research by Barclays, which actually looks at our dialect and reflects why we adapt our voice for different situations. So it's a genuine delight to be able to welcome to the programme this morning Professor David Crystal. Good morning, David. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Delighted to touch base with your good self. Now, clearly, this whole notion of the voice and the power of the voice, and in Lincolnshire, clearly, we have this notion of, okay, duck, all right, duck, etc. The whole notion of accents, we've moved beyond the notion of broadcasters having to be received pronunciation folk, but we still actually change our voice when it comes to telephone messages and so on, it would seem.
Yes, we do. But then this is a perfectly natural feature, you know, normal feature of being human. We change our voices all the time, actually. It's not just those special cases. We talk to friends and we talk like them. We meet somebody and we get on well with them. We pick up some of the features of their voice. We meet somebody we don't get on so well with them, and so we distance our voice from theirs. This is a perfectly normal feature of being human. It's called accommodation, technically, and it's something that's been noticed for quite a long time in research contexts, but people still don't realise just how variable their voices are.
Those of us who have a penchant for science fiction matters will be well aware with the notion of voice identification and indeed ultimately retina scans, but we're talking about the voice today. And in terms of this particular survey, it would seem that each person's voice is made up of over 100 characteristics based on the physical configuration of the speaker's mouth and throat. Presumably also the emotional state can also impact the voice in terms of whether you're excited. We're speaking to the Professor David Crystal and other folk as well.
Yes, but you know, no matter how excited you get or how depressed you are or whatever it is, the voice is still your voice. That is the amazing thing, really. Yes, there are lots and lots of features of the voice, at least 100, probably far more than that. But how many do you need in order to develop a system like Barclays Voice Security where you want that kind of uniqueness of identity? You don't need that many variables, but, you know, 100 or more. Oof. Gosh, I mean, there's nothing more complex than the voice in this respect. The voice is the most complex feature of human behaviour that we've got. And it is, as you rightly say, because of all the individual tiny, tiny, tiny variations in the vocal organs. Remember how wide the set of vocal organs is. It goes all the way from the lips through the teeth, through the palate, through the tongue, through the uvula at the back of the throat, into the nose, down the throat, into the pharynx, into the larynx, into the lungs. And all of these features, when you add them all up, produces the basis of a technology of this kind.
And does this mean that we'll be looking solely to voice recognition software, or we'll be looking at a combination of biometrics? Can we see Barclays research actually being applied to other fields other than just banking?
Well, I'm quite sure. I mean, once the technology is there, tested as it has been and reliable, then it can be used in all sorts of different ways. I mean, at the moment, it's to avoid the hassle, isn't it? And the uncertainties, you know, I have to remember my password, I have to answer a whole set of security questions and so on. It takes an age. Well, it's minutes, but that's an age these days, isn't it?
And, of course, press the button if you wish to continue to wait and listen to more music as it plays down the line to you. But
yes.
We won't go there. In terms of health issues, because clearly when one has a cold, if you're suffering from that, I mean, often we speak to broadcasters in particular, the whole essence of the instrument being critical, that also impacts. Will this technology kind of take on board that? Because I know certain voice recognition software I've used on computers, when we've tried things with people having colds and so on, it's come up with some very bizarre interpretations.
It's always possible for a deviant something deviant to happen, which means that your voice is not your normal voice. But, you know, that's because the reason why there have been problems like this in the past is because people have analysed the voice only with reference to a small number of variables. I mean, even if I've got a cold, it's still me. Mm. And if you've got enough variables in the system should be able to handle that kind of deviation. I mean, obviously, there are going to be some circumstances where any system would break down. I mean, if you lose your voice, for instance, obviously, then you're not really going to be ringing up Barclays or anybody and talking to them. No, one has to have a system that is robust in a normal range of circumstances, which includes things like having a cold and having a sore throat and things like that.
I was fascinated by the most friendly and relatively regularly used or regional terms and phrases like governor, which is obviously a Cockney area, which is something that is, comes out of this survey that's a recognised routine. Jammy in Northern Ireland, as in Jammy Dodger, perhaps, or perhaps not. dog and bone, of course. I think we know we're going there. Yeah. The crack, again, Northern Ireland, and Scooby.
Yeah. Lovely.
Are these areas that kind of come through? Because it has been said that we're losing the regionality, that actually we're beginning to sort of move not necessarily to a kind of estuary English, but to a kind of more flattened Western European kind of accent.
Well, remember there are two things here in what you've just said. There's accent and there's dialect. Mm. Now, accent is a matter of pronunciation. Mm. Dialect is a matter of grammar and vocabulary. So words like jammy and crack and so on are dialect differences. And there are more of these around than one thinks. You know, when you do actually an analysis, as I've done, of and Barclays have done it too, of areas of the country, you find you're talking about 1,000 or a couple of thousand local words, you know. It's not just a dozen or anything like that. Now, the old words are dying out, yes, indeed. But they are being replaced by modern words. An awful lot of the multilingual character of the country, multi-ethnic Britain, as we would call it these days. You know, these new groups of people that have come in and settled, they're bringing vocabulary in that is often local to a particular part of the country. So the diversity is as strong today as it ever was. And on the accent side, the same thing is happening. Yes, some of the old accents are dying out, you know, some of the old ways of speaking, but they're being replaced by modern accents. That estuary that you mentioned isn't actually a single accent at all. It varies enormously. The estuary you hear in Norfolk is different from the estuary you hear in Leicestershire and so on. And so although there is a certain similarity in accents these days, the differences are still there.
And internationally, you mentioned there obviously the influx of different accents and languages and so on and so forth. Do we still have this situation where the traditional cliched American line, oh, we just love the way you English people talk, is that still springs to mind from that point of view?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. But when people, especially in America, and Hollywood and so on, do that sort of thing, their ears are not very tuned to the differences in the UK. I remember Sean Connery being very upset once when somebody said, you know, you have a lovely English accent. And of course,
dear,
he doesn't
Lord.
Have an English accent at all. But from an American point of view, they all sounded more or less the same. The interesting difference is that if you look at the way English accents are used in films these days, you know, they're sometimes they're the posh upper class good guy, but often they're the bad guy,
absolutely,
aren't they? You know,
yes.
Hello, Mr. Bond.
Yes. I was getting chills for the moment there, David. This is one of the reasons why clearly you were the Sam Wanamaker Fellow at Shakespeare's Globe in the early part of the 21st century. It's fantastic stuff. David, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self. A reminder that if you want to find out more about this research, which is quite fascinating, presumably you can go to the Barclays website.
Yes, you can. Go to the Barclays website and click on the little magnifying glass and type in Barclays Voice Security and you'll be there.
It'll be sort of the way of the future, clearly. I forget retina scan. Clearly, voice print identification is the way forward. Two final questions for your good self, David. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Well, it's been absolutely perfect as far as I can see, especially when you think that I'm in the fastnesses of Wales and you're wherever you are. And
it's technology in the 21st century connecting Wales with Lincoln. That's Lincoln, England, as opposed to Lincoln, Nebraska. Easily confused, but you know, we'll work our way through that whole process. So can we prevail upon you to hopefully join us again in the not-too-distant future? Maybe we can talk about some of the other exciting linguistic aspects which actually go beyond my own interests in Freddie Ayer's Language, Truth and Logic back in the day.
Gosh, you're showing your age.
I am indeed. Will you be kind enough to return?
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.